welcome to DC OCD, the DC Events Podcast, where we're going to go through every single DC event, unless we don't want to. I'm Paul.
Yeah, g'day. I'm Mike, and this is our zero episode.
What better way to start an event podcast than having a zero episode?
Yes. So it's our zero episode, our secret origin, I guess you could call it. We're going to go through what we're considering to be an event, and maybe some spoilers as to what's coming up next. So yeah, should be good fun.
Yeah. So a bit of why we're doing this, though. People may know that we do a Doom Patrol podcast called Waiting for Doom, especially since this show is on the same feed, so it's not exactly a secret. But you know, one of the things we talk about Doom Patrol all the time, and it's a bit like going to the buffet and only ever touching the patisseries. And sometimes the patisseries are delicious and full and complex, and sometimes they're a bit burnt. Anyway, we wanted to talk about the rest of the buffet, and what's more buffet than a DC event? Because, you know, it's smack dab in the center of the DC universe, and all sorts of stuff is going on, and all these characters are being brought in, and plots, and it sort of involves everything and everyone, and it's always big and, you know, ridiculous and glorious when it's well done well. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, what do you think is the point of an event in a comic book universe?
There's a few different points to them. Obviously, the first is to tell a big story that can't be contained within a regular series, I guess. They usually include lots of current characters. And the first few we'll be looking at in this sideshow. I meant that as in a sideshow to Waiting for Doom, not that this is a sideshow of a podcast.
Let the listeners judge that.
Yeah. but yeah, you know, lots of characters on the playing field in the stories. It's also to help sell comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an economic factor to this. It's not just to entertain Paul and Mike. No, sorry.
Although, yeah, you know, a happy Paul and Mike is good for everyone.
Good for business.
It can also be used to reinvigorate titles, bring a bit of a spark back to the main books themselves. Create new interest in old ideas through the use of multiple characters and getting some characters that we haven't seen in a while back onto the page. And in some cases, an event will also be used to create new characters and hopefully spin off into their own books.
Launch new successful titles.
Fingers crossed. Yes.
Fingers doesn't always crossed. Work. It does not. It seldom works, in fact, I would say. Yeah.
Paul, why don't you tell us what we think the types of events?
I've come up with four categories for events, and I think most events will have elements of all these four categories. Some won't, but you know, basically, the main premise of an event or the intent of the event, there could be four main reasons for it. So the first one is one I call the fixer, where you want to fix something with your DC universe as such. So you want to adjust continuity, address an ongoing problem or complaint, or, you know, fix something that people aren't happy with, maybe change the role of a character or the situation of a team, you know. And I think your classic fixer, Crisis on Infinite Earths, that's the fixer. I mean, this was about streamlining the multiverse down into a single universe, making it all more straightforward, which lasted a couple of months, but... Zero Hour is another fixer. You know, Rebirth, classic fixer. Yeah.
Yes.
They were basically saying, sorry, we did the new 52. Let's make it all better.
I must have missed the issue that specifically said that. But anyway.
It's pretty obvious. Anyway, I think the second type, number two, is the Occupier. And this is more pragmatic in that it just wants to give other comics a story to keep them busy or to, you know, sell, you know, fill up books. So, you know, we're doing annuals. What are we going to do this time? We'll do a story set in the future where you see the future of the characters. So, you know, classic Occupier is like Armageddon 2001. Mm-hmm. The final night, you know, it's dark, the sun's gone. What does everybody do? And it gives all these other books something to do, you know. Yeah. Then you've got you're probably the type I'd call the launcher, which is basically creating new books, ideas, reinvigorating things, you know, so spinning stuff off. So the main point is, hey, let's get some new IP out there. Let's, you know, create new characters and, you know, new titles and spin them out. So, I mean, every event has an element of the launcher in pretty much every case, but some of them are more fixated on it. It's like it's the core deal. So an example, Underworld Unleashed, where they took all the villains and said, let's make them all badass and, you know, we can do new things with these villains. And Bloodlines, let's create all these new characters. Everyone's got a new character in every annual, you know, and see how many last. Yeah.
God bless you, Tommy Monaghan.
Yeah, thank goodness for him. But I think there's one other type of event that I can think of, and if anyone can think of any others and you want to point them out to me and say how wrong I am or et cetera, please do so. We'll give the contact details at the end. But I think there's the Vanity Project, which is where there's a creator who's a big deal and he wants to tell a big story, he or she. It's always he, in fact. And of course, it's cool that they want to do it. They let them do it. So, you know, examples of this, Identity Crisis. Brad Meltzer, outside author, wants to come in, tell a DC story. You know, everyone realizes, hey, this is a big deal. We could, you know, leverage this into other stories. Or Final Crisis, you know, Grant Morrison, you know, he's making the Bat book sell really well. Who knows what he wants to do, but apparently he wants to do this story called Final Crisis, and maybe someone understands it. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But, I mean, for us, so these are just types. This is just some of the language that we can talk about events in. But for us, we really need to have a definition of an event for something to be included in our show. So we are planning to do one event per an episode. So, you know, we're going to start with Crisis on the Infinite Earths, which I think was really the benchmark and the model for how to do an event. And I think it was the first time that there'd been any sort of fixer-type event ever. Mm. Like Secret Wars predated it, but Secret Wars was just, you know, Marvel trying to beat DC to the punch because they heard about what DC was doing. You know, it's so unlike Marvel to act that way. But yeah.
I wondered how long it was going to be before we started throwing shade on Marvel. And we're about 8 minutes in. Well done.
Yay. High five. Yeah. So definition of event. So, Mike, what's the first thing that we have in our definition?
Okay. Bit of an obvious one. A DC event must take place in the DC universe.
No Elseworlds.
No.
No other worlds. Of No Wildstorm.
No.
No. Unless it's part of the DC Universe. Yeah. Okay, second thing, it must have a core limited series with its own title that's the same name or similar to the event. So, you know, there's a book that is called the event, like, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths. There's a book called Crisis on Infinite Earths. Mm-hmm. So, it gets a bit weird. By this definition, we're not going to include Death of Superman.
No.
Anyway, yeah. What's the next one?
The next definition is that it must fit with one or more of the event types that Paul just took us through. So it's got to be a fixer, an occupier, a launcher, or a vanity project. If it fits one of those, it's kosher. It's fine.
Yeah. And the final criteria that we have to make it an event for the purposes of this show is it must include issues or annuals from ongoing titles at that time, or be a super cool story that is a big deal to us personally. So there's the caveat that allows us. So, yeah. I mean, your best events, they pull in all the DC universe that's at the time and, you know, they have crossover issues and tie-ins, etc. But not every event does. So I think, like, Cosmic Odyssey, it's event-worthy, but it doesn't have any of the tie-ins. Though, of course, if Cosmic Odyssey got published today, they would tie in the crap out of it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So we do have a format. I mean, we're going to be making this up as going along. We've been doing Waiting for Doom for so long that we're, you know, we're so locked into these that way of doing a podcast that this is a bit of flexing some new muscles for us. So, but what we're planning to do is one event per an episode in release order. We're going to have a cool or amusing song as part of it. We've stolen that idea for Ryan Daly and from the Secret Origins podcast. Now, there's lots of podcasts out there that focus on events, and they will, you know, go in depth. And, you know, there's like the Invasion podcast. They talk about tie-in issues of Invasion in every single episode. Yes. We're not going to do that. We are going to do minimal focus on the plot. We're just going to talk about the whole event and, you know, what it did. And we're going to focus on its impact and its scope and what was the big deal about it and what was its legacy. Like, how is this event still being felt? And, you know, what did it push out into the universe by doing it? And the fun bit, we're going to rate the event. So out of 10 each, so Mike gets 10 for each of these things. I get 10. So our first category for rating is eventiness. Eventiness? So how eventy is it? You know, you know what I'm saying there, Mike, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Like how epic is it? How much does it fit in with the types of events, and how does it stick with the definition that we're going with? And how cool is it in terms of an event?
Yeah, exactly. You understand eventiness perfectly there, Mike.
I just understand you really well.
It's been too long. I'm sorry. It's like a lesion that you've just grown to get used to.
Wow.
Your little lesion of superheroes.
Oh, God.
Anyway, sorry. All right, the next thing that we're going to rate out of 10 is writing. So, you know, how well written was it? That's fairly straightforward. I don't need to explain that one. The next one is the art and the covers together. So, you know, the visual presentation of the comic. So out of 10. And the other thing is impact and legacy. So what did it do? You know, how does it still count? Is there something that happened in this that still matters today? So that sort of thing. So 10 out of that is four categories. That gives us 40 points from Paul and 40 points from Mike potentially. But we want to get to 100 because, you know, rating things out of 100, much neater. So we will actually have a guest person who submits their score. So we will have someone for each episode who's, you know, we've invited to say, come in, give us your score for this event. So they give it out of 10 for those four categories, but we halve their score because they're not us and it's our podcast. So, yeah, it's just the way it is. But that will give us a score out of 100 for the event. And then when the event is categorized and scored that way, we'll stick it on the event ladder. So, you know, the first event we'll do is Crisis on Infinite Earths. That will be the top scoring event that week.
Yes.
Number one on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next episode, we'll do the next event, and then we'll have two scores on the ladder. So we'll see what happens. So as this goes on, and at some point as we get near the end, we might make the ladder dark so no one knows what's happening until the very end. Reveal the ladder.
Sounds like a plan.
It's all very exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll also make sure that we try and mention other podcasts that are covering the event in more depth with, you know, better content and better presenters and that sort of thing. So,
better presenters?
If they exist in any sort of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So how does this sound, Mike? Do you think, you know, you in for the long haul?
Apparently so, yes, yes.
So, you know, we don't know where we'll end up. We're starting now. We're going to do this. So we're halving the amount of Waiting for Dooms we do while we do this this podcast as well, and we'll mix them in some of the feeds. So, like, this week we're doing DC OCD Episode 0. Next week it's a Waiting for Doom, and I think we're coming back with a – good golly, it's a Gerard Way issue.
No.
Yeah, apparently. Wow.
Wow.
It's that time of the decade.
Wow.
Jeez. Anyway, yeah. So, next week we won't be back with DC OCD, but the week after we will. But so Waiting for Doom will be on as normal next time. Well, you can say normal about Waiting for Doom. Anyway. So, Mike, where can people get in touch with us if they, you know, want to take part or, you know, come up with their own types of events or, you know, criticize what we say? Because I'm pretty sure we're going to be controversial at times.
I'm sure we'll get criticized even if we're not controversial. But anyway, people can find us on the Twitters at DCOCDcast. That's all one word. That's DCOCDcast on the Twitters. And you can email us at DCOCDcast@gmail.com. So you know, if you want to send your comments there, or your long-winded rambles, or your compliments, or whatever, email them there.
Yeah, and before, you know, as we start, we'd like to thank Doug Savisha, who did our logo. If you've seen our logo, it's awesome. It's the same as you look at it either way. It's like palindromic or whatever, and it looks the same backwards as forward, as upside down, as sideways.
It's pretty cool.
You probably need to see it to understand that. Anyway,
I think Wilfred will help us out and put it up online for us soon. Yeah.
Oh, I hope Wilfred doesn't feel resentful of all this.
I'm sure this won't backfire on us with Wilfred in any way whatsoever.
Wilfred's also always so mature and helpful.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Okay, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us for this Zero Ep, and we hope you're along for the ride with DC OCD.
DC OCD!